Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
Joining us now on the Saitama Hotline, she's the co-owner of JR Motorsports, daughter of the Intimidator. It's big in my book. And speaking of books, she's got a book out. It's titled Drive 9, Lessons to Win in Business and Life. Love that title. Kelly Earnhardt Miller, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I am very well, man. Appreciate you joining me. Are you up in Mooresville?
I am in Mooresville. I am sitting in my office at Junior Motorsports.
I've actually been to Junior Motorsports. I met Carrie there one day. I wrote a column about him when he came out and started designing his homes and all that. Carrie, one of the good dudes. Let me tell you, you talk about a humble, gentle guy. I just wish he spoke a little louder.
I know. We always get him about that, too. He is so friendly and so personable, and he makes friends so easy, and he's a great brother. And it's funny because, you know, we didn't grow up together. I didn't meet Carrie until he was 16, and the mannerisms that he has, what I just, like, am in awe about all the time is his mannerisms with my dad. Not being raised by my dad, but he talks like him and acts like him and moves like him. It's so crazy, but he's a great guy.
Well, Kelly, and it's funny you said that. That was actually the first sentence of my column for the Winston-Salem Journal that day. I said, you know whose son he is as soon as you see him, because he was walking towards me, and I went, goodness gracious, that's eerie. Wow, but Carrie, good guy. One quick question about Carrie. Is his daughter still doing the rodeo stuff? Was it dressage or whatever?
Yeah, well, she rodeos, so she barrel races and does the goat tying events and pole bending. And she actually just graduated from high school this past summer and got a scholarship, a rodeo scholarship, to the University of Southern Oklahoma, which is where my favorite superstar went, Reba McEntire. She's my favorite. And that's where she graduated from. So Kayla is in school at the University of Southern Oklahoma, and she is on the rodeo team there.
So do you have nights where you go home and you watch, the one, Tremors, the movie where she was in? She did a pretty good job.
I love Reba as an artist. I probably have been to about, I would say, 15 concerts in my life of Reba from when I was in my young 20s to now. And she's always been, like, people talk about being starstruck with my dad or with my brother, and she's kind of my starstruck person. And when people would meet my dad, you know, I'd go to autograph sessions or whatnot, and even with Dale Jr., and they'll be in line, and they're getting, you know, it's about their turn. And they're like, oh, my God, I can't breathe. I don't know what I'm going to say. Or they clam up. And I'm like, look, this is your one opportunity. You've got, like, about 30 seconds here to you know, be able to talk to who you're looking up to here. And I always talked all of this positiveness to people. And I got to meet Reba it's probably been about 5 or 6, 7 years ago. And I was the same way. It's like my voice wouldn't work. And I kept talking to myself saying, Kelly, You've talked to Earnhardt fans all your life like this to tell them to come on out, and here I am, and I couldn't hardly say a word. So, but she's my girl.
Well, you've probably met a lot of people, though, through your dad and through your brother, and it's Reba McEntire that makes you just lose your mind.
Reba McEntire made me lose my cool. Yep, she sure did.
I guess. We're joined by Kelly Earnhardt Miller. You can follow her on Twitter, at Earnhardt Kelly. Kelly, I was stumbling around on the Google world the other day, and this is how come you're on the phone right now with me. I came across your book, and I was reading some excerpts from it and some samples from it, and I said, you know what? I think this is extremely interesting because, yeah, you do have a famous last name, but that doesn't mean that you should necessarily have the job you have. It's all based on performance, and you've proven yourself over and over. You know how to be a businesswoman in a male-dominated sport. I'm wondering this, how much of that I want to go out and show people that I'm not just here because of my name, I know what I'm doing, how much of that motivated you to write this book?
You know, I really wrote the book, I wanted to write a book about my relationship with my dad, because you just said, I'm an Earnhardt, there's you know, I pretty much had the world at my fingertips from everyone on the outside looking in. That was the perception, is that, you know, you can do anything you want. You're handed things. You're given things. This must be so easy. You get to, you know, go here, do this, da-da-da. And the reality was is that we did go a lot of places. We did, you know, have a lot of advantages. But the one thing that I lacked so significantly in my childhood that followed me into my adulthood was love, just quality love, quality acceptance from my father. And he was a very difficult dad. Our, you know, growing up in our childhood was difficult, in my opinion. We were left with family. We didn't have, you know, sit-down dinners. We didn't have a dad or a mom. My mom lived 6 hours away. We didn't have parents that came to watch us do sports. We didn't have parents that you know, supported us in doing sports. I sorted out my college all on my own. I decided what college to go to. I drove myself there without my parents in my car for summer school with what I needed. Like, in today's world, I feel like there's so much, you know, support for kids in that, you know, you see the parents going and all the pictures and da-da-da-da. And we did so many things on our own. And there's lots of other things that I felt were more traumatic than some of those things that I just mentioned. But in general, it just wasn't a great childhood. So I wanted to write a book about that. I wanted to write a book about my relationship and all these years in NASCAR of being the Earnhardt family and living up to what that looked like. And you know, people telling you all the time, I loved your dad, he was this, he was that to me, this and that. And I would have these feelings going on in my head, like, yeah, I know that's my dad, the race car driver. But I was conflicted in my head with my dad, the dad, you know. And so I wanted to write about that. Well, the publisher said, you know what, kid, that's not going to fly. Like some people are going to want to read that, but not everybody's going to read that. So what we did, and if you look through the book, you'll see, we did kind of like an intro with the first four chapters of kind of life with my dad and life growing up. And then paralleled that into 9 lessons in business and life that of kind of how I lead today based off of wanting to correct some of that behavior, wanting to do different, and also in implementing things that I did learn from my dad, because my dad was a great businessman. And that was a lot of it, too, is like it was very business-like in our household and not as personable and family and loving. So that's why I wrote the book, and that's kind of how it came to be and what I wanted to share with people, you know, at the end of the day with the book.
How much of that environment that you had with your father, the business-like atmosphere, the way you described it, and I guess, and I hate to use the word cold, but maybe chilly environment, that's what it sounds like. How much of that do you think was a trickle-down from his dad, Ralph?
You know, I think it's all a trickle-down, and my grandparents and my aunts and uncles talk about that, and it's one of the reasons in my own life that I searched out therapy, because I didn't want to, I felt like some of my behaviors in my adult life were going to lead to the same thing with my children. I had two girls at the time, and, you know, I was a product. My dad was divorced. I was divorced. You know, I had two kids, and you're trying to parent. You're trying to do these things, and
Whoa. Trent, have we lost her?
Did it? Still on, but she might have lost her signal.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. There you are, Kelly. You dropped out for a moment.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm here.
The last thing we heard was you got divorced and you had two kids.
Yep. So anyway, what I was talking about just kind of going, you know, I want to go to therapy. And I think everybody in the world needs therapy of some sort for something that's went on in their life. And so I do think that a lot of those issues were kind of, you know, the way you're raised and the way things are handed down to you is kind of foundationally how you're built. And so I know, you know, knowing now what I know, it's not that, I mean, I forgive my dad. I, you know, have compassion for the way we were raised, but it still produced a messed up adult in a lot of ways, you know, in my 20s, and my 20s and early 30s. And finally, somewhere in the mid-30s, I'm like, you know what, I got to straighten this out. You know, I want to raise my girls better. And so that's kind of where kind of the change and the therapy and some of the things I write about in my book came into play.
You know, we could have I know we have a limited amount of time, but this is a fascinating conversation. I mean, it's a generational thing, Kelly, because you and I are only about a year apart in age. I think you might be about 10 months older than me. And a lot of this sounds very comparable, just how things are different with that previous generation. But you also have to keep in mind they were raised by people who were hardened by the Great Depression. And we can't understand the impact that took on their upbringing, their psyche, the way they developed into adults. And here's my long-winded way of getting to this point. That generation that went through the Great Depression, how does it compare to the generation now that's dealing with COVID going forward? Because I'm thinking of my 19-year-old son who's been cooped up for a year and a half now. He's losing his mind. How is this going to affect him going forward when it's time for him to raise his children? Do we need to go ahead and prepare these kids now so that they don't have to fix themselves when they're in their 30s and their 40s like we have?
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it is very generational. I mean, the differences. And that's where I say so much, there are so many great things that made me who I am, you know, and poised me to, you know, take care of myself and be accountable to myself and be a hard worker and, you know, go to college and graduate and get a job out on my own and work out on my own and not underneath my dad's wing and things like that. So there's so many great things about it. You know, our situation, I feel like, was a little bit sideways because of a step parent and just really rocky roads there, and some of the things that happened that you know, children just I don't think should be a part of in step parent relationships and things like that, where somebody has control over everyone, and you know, it made things really difficult. It made us as kids really suppressed in terms of what we felt like we could talk about and share and love and be loved. So it was, you know, those kinds of things were really difficult. But yeah, that's why I say everybody needs therapy, because throughout the world, throughout our lives, different stuff happens. You know, it could be a critical illness. It could be, you know, a bad relationship with a parent. It could be COVID. It could be, there's so many things, doing school online. You know, there's so many things that can affect us in the way that we work.
Yeah, I'm aware of what you're talking about. I'm just glad you got to use your name. You got to keep your name. I was very pleased to hear that whole deal with regards to.
Right.
Don't get me started on that, Kelly. I've talked to a certain individual about that who's also very unhappy. We're joined by Kelly Earnhardt Miller. You can follow her on Twitter at Earnhardt Kelly. And Kelly, you talk about who you are. And I follow your family. I know a couple members of your family. Y'all got it going on. You got a lot of stuff happening. There are many fingers in a lot of different pies. I'm wondering this question. Is it humbling or maybe at times overwhelming to oversee such an enterprise? Because it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to me that you are the head honcho, the go-to person when it comes to shepherding the vast majority of all these different things your brother has happening.
You know, it's all of the above. It can be overwhelming. It's definitely humbling. It's rewarding. I was talking to a lady last night. My neighbor came down to visit, and she's in her 80s, and she's grew up out on the road we live on for, you know, all her life, and just the sweetest little thing. And she was a school teacher, and she was talking about, she said, my work as a school teacher was very mission-based. You know, we were talking about helping kids and talking about kids that came into the classroom that had tattered clothes and maybe hadn't eaten and stuff like that. And I feel like my life is much of the same. My life is, like, mission-based to help people, to heal people, to you know, provide a great place to work for people, to do good things for other people, because I really feel like I've been blessed. And so when things get overwhelming or when things get a certain way, I just kind of always think back to that, because you know, I tell, what we do here in the Xfinity series is, I tell Dale all the time, you know, it's not about the bottom line, it's about all our families and about the people that we serve, and, or, you know, people that work here. And because in the Xfinity series, it's not that great. You know, we're not out there. I'm not out. We're not out there, you know, making millions. You know, it's just what we love to do. We know racing. We want to carry on our family and our legacy, and so it's really just my life's work, and I'm very thankful for it and very proud of it, you know, in terms of what we get to do and all the different things and all the businesses that we're involved in.
And I guess my last question, I've got many, but I'm going to make this my last one.
That's fine. I've got time. No problem.
Well, maybe I don't, Kelly.
No, oh, you don't, maybe.
Maybe
okay,
I'm kind of a big deal. We're joined by Kelly Earnhardt Miller. Now, the book is fascinating. I'm wondering this, though. What has opened up to you by writing this book? And what I'm talking about is, are you now exploring other platforms to go tell your story? Because, again, I think of women executives in sports who have succeeded and who are just killing it, and I think of Amy Trask in the NFL, and you're right there with her. Are you going to do any other books? Are we going to see a podcast or anything like that?
You know, I don't have any plans right now. I've been toying with what other subject matters or whatnot that I might could do on the book thing. You know, my book, as great as it is, was such a disappointment from the standpoint of marketing and sales, because I released my book April 7th, 2020, and what happened about March 13th, 2020 was COVID. And so everything on April 7th was shut down, and so it was a terrible time to release a book, but it was in the works for 18 months prior to that, so we couldn't, you know, put the brakes on it. But so I do want to do another book from that standpoint, because I really don't feel like we were able to reach and touch all the people that we, you know, could reach and touch. But yeah, I don't know. We have our own content company here, so podcasts. I've done a podcast in the past, and certainly could do something in my future. So who knows?
How much of Junior's media work falls underneath the umbrella of JR Motorsports?
All of it. Dirty Mo Media is our content company that does the Dale Jr. Download podcast, and then we have the Door Bumper Clear podcast, and we're introducing several others. We just did a trailer that we released online on Twitter and Facebook for the Burtons. And so Jeff and Ward Burton and their sons, Harrison and Jeb, are going to tell their story about racing, and it's a great, interesting story, because they don't get along, or they didn't get along. They're working to get along now, and so this podcast goes through the who's, what's, and why's about that, and you know, Ward and Jeff growing up as brothers and race car drivers, and then their sons coming into the sport. So all of that falls here. I have 125 employees here across the racing platforms, the content and media. And then just running Dale's business, you know, in terms of we have IT and HR and all the fundamental things that you need, our foundation as well. And then all of our ancillary business partners that we work with on the different businesses.
I remember going there and I couldn't get a Mountain Dew.
Really?
Yeah, I know, man. And Carrie was like flustered because he couldn't find one for me. So.
Well, we have one now. We have a drink machine downstairs now. Carrie must have just not known where to look for the Mountain Dews.
He was nervous.
Right people to ask.
He was nervous. He wanted to talk about me playing ball and stuff like that. He was a nervous wreck. And to get him just open, but once I got him rolling, he was okay. She's Kelly Earnhardt Miller. You can follow her on Twitter at Earnhardt Kelly. Her book, Drive 9, Lessons to Win in Business and Life. I found it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and just about anywhere you can get a book. Kelly, we got to bring you back on. We got to have you on another time.
Hey, I'd love to. Yep.
Well, we're going to have you come on one week, and you be our celebrity picker for our college football games. How's that?
Oh, gosh.
Well, that's even better.
I better be working on learning about college football and who's who. Easy, who's in, who's not.
Easy money, Trent. They got that Earnhardt money. We got to get her on. Kelly, appreciate it.
All right. Well, y'all have a great day. I'll come back on any time. Your people can call my people.
I like it. We'll talk with you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Kelly Earnhardt Miller, you can follow her on Twitter at Earnhardt Kelly.